Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Legend Rouge Cycling Podcast for the Basque Country Stage 2 recap. Kind of like our old school recaps.
Yeah.
Just a middle of the week World Tour stage race kind of stage. And I'm all here for it. 161Ks leaving from the border of the Spanish Basque Country and France from Irun and rolling through hills all day, but no really long ones. To Cambo in France. They actually do a loop around the French Basque Country this afternoon. Weather mild, but with rainy conditions at the end, very slippery roads. And as I said, only probably, I don't know, like 2,500 meters of climbing, but really not much flat all day. The finish was like false flat, uphill drag with some kickers in there. So this is what qualifies as a sprint stage in the Basque Country. Who was the favorite, yes, Benji?
The favorite for this parkour, I'd say before the stage, we would have hinted at the likes of Aular, the likes of even Hayter, because we look at the parkour and we see a versatile sprint, right? It's not like the parkour looks extremely hard. There's no brutal climb in the last 10 kilometers that can be a launching point for a Vingegaard. So I'm guessing versatile sprint. Then going into the stage, we saw specific teams doing work, and that is the likes of Ineos, the likes of Bora. Mainly Bora is how I perceived it. And then I look at their teams and I'm like, Ineos, sure. Ethan Hayter. Bora, Roglic, Sobrero. Those are the two riders you could play out in a versatile sprint. But for me, they were not in the top three favorites for a finish like this. So if I was Bora, I would never pace on a parkour like this.
Maybe they're going for Sobrero, like he's pretty snappy sometimes. That was my thinking, but excuse me. I think you're right. I think they're going for Roglic, and yeah, it's in dry conditions. I mean, he's in the Basque Country, these sort of uphill sprints. He's won a lot of these in the Vuelta as well, but it really wasn't that hard. If there were some proper climbs beforehand, maybe he would have more of a chance. But are they the brothers in the break, Benji? Are they twins?
I'm very curious if they're brothers or not. I actually don't know if they're brothers or not, but let's go through them. It's Aspaden from Euskaltel and Aspaden from Q36.5. Then next to them, Jetsebol and Viermo. So we've got that usual pro team style breakaway is basically what we have. Four riders in the breakaway, fully controlled. Whether they're brothers or not, it remains a mystery to me. But
they're brothers.
Oh, okay.
I checked.
Is that... Hey. Is that conspiring across teams to go in the breakaway together?
I mean, I think Pro Conti teams, that's what they're going to do. I listened to some pre-race interviews. Were you surprised to not see more teams going in the break? Because don't you think on the stage like this, like if the jumping went on for longer than 10, 15, 20 minutes, a team like, say, Ineos or Bora were going to control in theory, but they're not. It's not like Albertsen in the Tour de France sprint stage. They're really going to control. They're not going to let you go. Don't you think if the other teams push just a little bit, eventually they'd be like, whatever, we'll just put Frailer in the break with you. And like a break could go if you're, I don't know. I was a little bit surprised to see such a soft break go because I didn't feel like Ineos were really going to, I didn't feel like they're desperate to pace all day.
To play devil's advocate here, if we take a look at the other teams and we look at the star list when it comes to the versatile sprinters, there's limited names that we can name. Does that mean that the teams that have a rider that has some kind of sprint after versatile stage suddenly feel like, okay, we're going to throw shit at the fan in the sprint itself because the difference with the top rider is not the same difference as if we were sprinting against Philipsen?
Yeah, maybe like Aaron Barru or Serrano think, well, actually today's a day we can win from a sprint because there's no one too good here, or... I don't know, but then you look at the teams left really pacing at the end and you think, well, I don't know, maybe the break would have been better.
Yep.
But the break, that was how it went. Bora and Ineos paced. We get to the intermediate sprint. The breakaway is brought back before then. And to remind you of what happened yesterday, the GC standings are very, very tight. And someone, I think Remco, is not where he exactly wants to be. I think he would have hoped to have been 20 seconds up on Vingegaard starting today. He's 4 seconds up and he's behind Roglic by 11 seconds. So Roglic is sitting pretty. And we get to the intermediate sprint. UAE have numbers. They got Del Toro, Vine, Ayuso. They're all wearing different jerseys. Vine was in the light green one. Ayuso in the dark blue one. Hayter was in the KOM jersey. Rog is in the gold jersey, leading the race. But UAE mastered the front. Vingegaard was there in good position. But when the sprint actually opened up, basically it was Remco, Schelmoser, Ayuso, Del Toro, all in a four in front of him. And he's nowhere near as quick as them. And do we still know who won that intermediate sprint, Benji? Because they never even showed an overhead.
I've got absolutely no clue who won that intermediate sprint. And I think the results are the following. Del Toro took 3 seconds, Ayuso 2 seconds, and Remco 1 second. That's now what PCS is showing us. So I'm guessing that's an official result.
Yeah.
But that means that UAE won that sprint. The thing is also, Del Toro was sprinting with Ayuso in the wheel. And they were looking at each other after the sprint as if like, oops, I wish that Ayuso was in front of Del Toro. That kind of vibe I got when I looked at them. But they're taking seconds on everybody, so I don't think they should complain too much. Remco also taking a second on everybody except the UAE riders, which is better than 0 seconds. Roglic not sprinting for it, which, I don't know.
He wasn't in position to sprint for it.
Yeah, but if you're pacing for the stage itself, that means you believe that your rider can win the stage. So you're not going to ruin the potential energy for that then by sprinting 10 kilometers earlier.
I mean, maybe.
That's from the concept of, we think we can win the stage. Because they were pacing.
Yeah, yeah. I was still surprised. I mean, you look at this team. Adria, Jungel, Schachmann, Sobrero, yeah. Buchmann, and Hindley's allowed to protect his own GC position. That team should be able to put him in position there, though. Like Sobrero, Jungels and co.
Even if you don't want to do that, that team should also be able to have someone like Sobrero take potential seconds away from others, because that guy does have some kind of sprint. So
I didn't really get it. We go through that sprint. They didn't get any gap. It was a really fast run-in. Castro had been leading it before. Like super quick. It wet roads. It's raining. You can just tell how sketchy it is. Everyone's nervous. And it didn't get the gap that I expected. As in, when the GC sprinters, GC riders sprinted, there really was no disconnect between them and the peloton. So there was no counterattack that maybe I thought Paul Lepera would do, or said he should do yesterday. Luckily, he didn't take my advice. and we get into pacing at the front mode, because we've got, in this tricky little parkour, a descent. We have a little kicker uphill, two descents. It's just really, really sketchy. There's a descent with like 5-6 Ks to go. And Groupama comes to the front. I assume they're going for Gregoire. Gregoire's second wheel. Remy Rochas was there. Vine's there for UAE. UAE remassing at the front. Lovan Bell moves up. He's the bodyguard for Vingegaard. Roglic is on his own for a little bit. And then Schachmann comes through. He does a good job placing him. Remco was freelancing there with Vivaka. Yep. But Ineos weren't amassed at the front. And all of a sudden, there's two crashes with 4 Ks to go. I don't know, that's an unfortunate graphic that just popped up on the YouTube. But at 4Ks to go, there's a crash at the back of the peloton. And looks like, initially I was like, oh, it's just the last few wheels. It's not a major split, but it was huge split and caught up Gegenhardt, and not just down and hurt. Yeah. He's out of GC. A UAE down. I don't know who the UAE was. I know Vine lost time, but a UAE was down. But then the split, Benji, looked serious and it didn't look like it was coming back.
Yeah, exactly. People that lost time on UAE, looks like the likes of Schurtbux potentially was the one down. He lost 2 minutes 24. All the other UAE riders are like within 36 seconds, so I severely doubt that any of those were actually involved in the crash itself. But you're right, Gegenhardt is crashing out before the last 3 kilometers, which means that he doesn't get that 3-kilometer security of still being in GC. But I'm first more worried about the fact that he held his wrist before he jumped back on the bike, that it felt like he kind of didn't want to continue. That's the view I had looking at him. But Last 3 kilometers, Groupama, Grégoire crash in second wheel as well. Visma takes over, and it's basically Visma taking over, but it kept like, it felt like a kind of tempo more than just keeping someone in position to me. I don't think it was like anything proper to try something, but it was a proper tempo, and there were gaps, there were splits because of those crashes, also because of the difficulty of the run-ins, some descents, wet descents, stuff like that. And we're going into the last 2-2.5 kilometers, and I'm now thinking, who else is left in this group? I don't see Aular. I see a different rider from that team. I see an Ineos rider, but I didn't think it was Hayter at the time. So, okay, Fraile, the two riders that... What's sorry, Fraile?
I think it was Fraile that was the only guy that made it, right? In the front.
Yeah, that's very possible. And I was thinking, okay, who's left here then? I see Serrano at the front, but he's pacing, so there must be an Aramburu somewhere hidden at the back. So that's why I was thinking about potentially to take something here, where we're going to see Roglic sprint eventually, because his team had been working the entire day. And at first, he looked like he was trying to move up, felt like, in the last 2 kilometers, but it wasn't necessarily working. And Sobrero was in his wheel at first, trying to move past, but I don't know, it was weird. Remco stayed at the back, so he was not sprinting, seemed to have no interest to do so, just wanted to finish safely, Vauclair in the group, but too much to the back to actually sprint for these. That's also a rider that I would have expected to be able to compete for a stage like this at the end, after seeing what he did in Tirreno, for example. And we get to the last 2 kilometers, and we see the first move from a Decathlon rider. And I don't know who it was, because there's 4 Decathlon riders that finished in the first group. I'm guessing it might have been Baudet that tried for a late attack. And Movistar gets in the wheel. I think it was Serrano. Then a Bora rider closes that. And then we venture into the last kilometer. And which teams did you see at the front at that point?
It was still kind of Decathlon. Like, Vingegaard decided he was just going to pace on the front himself. Yeah. Obviously, the crash of Grégoire spooked him. Oh, he was not spooked, but he was worried that this is very, very sketchy. And so he was kind of a lot of looking around. But yeah, Decathlon bossed it. I don't know if it was Baudin and then Retailleau. Very tough for me to pronounce his name. Valentin Retailleau. Came to the front, Lepera in the wheel. And then Movistar launched. I'm not sure who was leading out, Aramburu or Serrano. I think both went for their own sprint or someone else was there. And then Lepera came out of the wheel and won the stage easily. The GC guys didn't really go for it. And congrats to Lepera, but an Astana rider, maybe Schelling, unclips in the sprint in front of Vingegaard after a Movistar rider chops him a bit. And that was nearly the Tour de France up in smoke for Mr. Vingegaard. So very, very sketchy stage. I was sad to see Grégoire go down, and when the teammate in front, what was his reaction in that crash? His teammate saw him crash and just like screamed when he was in the front, because the stage is up in smoke. And yeah, it's one of these horrible stages that all the GC teams can't really get anything out of it. Yeah. But it's an unfortunate stepping stone where you can lose the race before you even get to Arate or Eibar on Sunday. So. But yeah, congrats to Lepera, Benji. This is Decathlon. Like, this team, this is a different team compared to last year. Like, I kept saying that the devil magic in those Van Rysel bikes. But it's not just the bikes. It's
also the celery allergies.
Oh, yeah. Narsen said he's allergic to celery.
Yeah, that he changed his nutrition, in which celery was apparently a part of a lot of things that are eaten that you don't expect it to be a part of, and that he feels a lot better since he stopped eating celery, which, hey, if it works, it works. I'm all for it. But the bikes were definitely an improvement. I feel like the vibe in the team is better. I don't think the change in jersey does much. I still don't like the fact that when they were attacking, I'm doubting, is it Decathlon? Is it Israel? Is it any other team? But they did their lead out. They attacked earlier. They had multiple plans. They still finished off with each part of the plan, even though the first plan, the early attack, failed. They went for the sprint, 600-meter lead out. And during that lead out, Lepera switches to that Astana rider, the Astana lead out, and then starts a sprint. And that's also clever, because otherwise he would have been at the front. Yes, it's perfect timing that an Astana rider comes up at that exact time, which helps him in the sprint. But it's still delivering. And it's not the first time he's doing shit this year, eh? Because at first I saw him at the end of February, I think in Drome Classic and that Italian race, La Guaglia. And then afterwards, he actually won 2 races.
Yeah.
Cholet and
Classic Loire.
What's the other one? Sorry?
Classic Loire.
Yeah. So this man has been starting to win this year, and now we don't know if it's a World Tour victory. Yeah, the competition in the group was pretty shit when it comes to versatile sprints, but I think he can do this again.
I think so. I think he's a very, very good rider, and if he's someone that if he's in the... And by the way, those French races, he won with a 20K and a 1.5K Finesse solo. So he's won in different ways this year. Yep. And if this man's going to the Giro d'Italia and there's a breakaway, yeah, I don't think he's good enough to win a serious tour break. Maybe I'm still underrating him, but if you put him in a Giro breakaway, very, very dangerous, like the old Dani type one. So yeah, and his previous claim to fame or infamy was when he was the one in the breakaway with the three Gazprom riders the day Russia invaded Ukraine, and the Gazprom won in the UA Tour stage on the first breakaway win on a sprint stage in like forever. That was actually the pair with those three Gazprom guys.
Now, we do need to talk about GC riders because Gegenhardt obviously lost time because of the crash.
Yeah, yeah.
But quite a bit of other riders lost time as well, and I don't know if this is because of the second crash of Grégoire, maybe, that they lost time in a split. So there is still a possibility that these gaps might change, but I feel like it's unlikely that they will change.
It was before. Okay.
So Hindley, Buitrago, Carlos Rodriguez, Vine, Godu, Dunbar, all those names lost 23 seconds today.
That's a pretty serious list.
Del Toro lost 23 seconds as well.
Really?
Am I blind? Wait, yes.
Did he?
He did.
Jesus.
Wow. You're shocked.
Well, no, that's just like, Hindley was the co-leader, in my opinion, for Bora. He still can be. He's not lost 3 minutes. Del Toro was like within 15 seconds based on the bonies. Godu looked good in the flats, whatever flat French race he did recently. That's a serious list of people losing time.
Only must have been the DSM rider in the crash where Gegenhardt crashed because he lost 3 minutes 33 with two teammates around him.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a very impactful crash that I would say took out a lot of... It didn't take out Remco, Roglic, Jonas, Ayuso, but Vine was second in GC going into this stage and he must have pumped out some pretty good watts yesterday to finish there in that TT. So UAE lose a fair bit of time with two of their... Three, I would say, GC leaders. I don't know where McNulty finished in the top 10. So I guess the positive of having four GC leaders is that if there's a split, maybe two will make it. The negative is that if there's a split, probably two will miss it. but yeah, the guys that did make it safely, as I said, McNulty, Remco, Roglic, Ayuso, Vingegaard, Bilbao, Schelmoser, Vauquelin. I'm looking for Mr. Jon.
In the meanwhile, I will update you.
Jon is a year lost time too.
Del Toro was the one that crashed.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm actually surprised it's still that close. UAE has confirmed it on their social media.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay. That's a shame. I hope he's all right. He looked to be in less bad shape than Tao. Tao was like quite banged up. So I'm not sure whether he will continue tomorrow, but certainly his GC is gone and they will go for Schielmos. And now I should read the top 10 for completeness of the stage because this is one of the strangest top 10s you'll see in a World Tour race this year. Lapera, Battistella, Louis Vavarka came third.
Yeah.
Po Mikel, Aramburu, Silva on Caja Rural, Retailleau after the lead out, Serrano 8th, McNulty 9th, Quinton Hermans 10th. So Quinton Hermans, he is a different rider to 2022, that is for sure. Yeah. Like in 2022, he was like maybe I'm overrating his sprint in 22, but Maybe I'm
he
not.
He had a sprint. It was better uphill, I would say. But I think it's hard to really digest this stage and say, oh, this rider is washed or something, because the positioning matters so much in this final.
It does, because I think Roglic could have sprinted, saw that when the gap opened up, that it was like two, he knew he couldn't win, and then the risk was there, so Roglic just was like, it's not worth it. So it is a positioning was really, really important, and there was a little uphill kicker, so very, very strange stage. And what would you say? I wouldn't say Hindley and the other UAEs are completely out of GC. It is only 23 seconds after all, but certainly it makes a big dent. Oh, we haven't mentioned Ineos either.
Well, before we get to Ineos, about UAE, it's also, you don't need to be on 10 seconds to be a factor in the final stage, which is a raid stage. If you're within a minute 30, stuff like that, you can put pressure on your competition. I think a minute 30 is probably the limit. Above that, I think you're fucked.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Kuss has lost another, the other young Visma riders lost like over a minute today, so they're not a GC threat whatsoever, if they ever were. Ineos today, they went for Hayter. Again, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But unfortunately, he was not in good position when the split happened. With 5Ks to go at the critical moment, he was in good position in the run into the IS. And then it all fell apart there, and he was behind the split, and that's all over. These things happen, but also they happen. It's not bad luck either if you're at the back and there's a split in this, you know, sketchy, rainy Basque descent in the last 5Ks. Like, there's a decent chance it's going to be a crash, frankly. So it is what it is. But if I going into tomorrow's stage from Espeleta, so there's no transfers where they finished today, they'll be happy with that, in France, to Alt-Sasu. 191 kilometers long, quite a difficult stage, actually. I'd be interested to see how they race this tomorrow. I'm just checking how many meters altitude gain there is in 190k. There are only 3,000, so there are some extended flat sections. They open up with the Ochindo climb, 7.8k's, 6%, quite regular. Then there's a decent enough 20k value before a false flat 10k climb descent. Then the Uzi, which I think, where they crossed that old border. I think they've crossed the border at this point. Then they do the Uzi 4.5k, 7.3% descent into Lecumberri, where Marc Soler won in the Vuelta, up to Zuarate, 6.8k, 3.4%. Then they get another nice 50k valley where they go through the finish line descent of that plateau. Then they do a 1700 meter, 7.5% kicker, then a false flat drag before the Lizarusti climb, 6.3k's, 5.2%. Again, these are actually, that's the least Basque looking climb I've ever seen. That's 6k, 5%. That's a truth climb. That's a truth news climb, not a real news climb. That one, and it's given a category two. And then there's a 19 kilometer basically valley afterwards on the plateau where there's an intermediate sprint with 9k's to go again. So, break or sprint, Benji?
Honestly, the initial part of the race says, oh, a break in form on that climb initially, it's going to be hard to control the breakaway formation, stuff like that. But I'm also looking at the parkour and I'm thinking those last 30 kilometers feel like the perfect parkour if you're Ineos to have a thin peloton in which Hayter should be able to position himself without too much danger in the last 20 kilometers.
I think tomorrow's better for Hayter.
I think so too.
I think Hayter, he must be climbing well. I'm sorry, but you do not finish 1 second off Roglic at T1 yesterday if you can't climb. I know, but he should be absolutely fine on a 5% 15 minute climb.
But Aller is going to beat him.
You think he makes it? Nah.
Don't shit on Aller now. It's a 5% climb.
No, Ineos got to go again. They got to pace this stage. They got to pace that 1700 meter kicker that is a bit steeper at 7.5%, which has a K at 8.5%. They got to really pace that Lizarusti climb. If C-Rod has to get on the front, then C-Rod has to get on the front, I'm afraid, because they got to win a stage.
If you look at the stages like this and you think about riders like Lauren Spiffy, obviously we prefer him at the classics, but with like a a BTEC calendar, he'd be cleaning multiple stages of a race like this.
These are very different climbs to like in the classics, though. These are 10
Yeah, but it's 6 kilometers at 5%. He should get over this. Look at Down Under.
Yeah, it's 5%. Yeah, okay. The lofty stage he was cooking. I grant you. But it's hard to drop anyone really on 5% unless, like, apart from a pure sprinter. Like Uli.
So Aular won't drop your dung.
Like Uli Aular. Nah, he probably won't drop, but Ineos still gotta go for him.
Yeah, for sure.
Breakaway, given that there's a 20-minute climb or 15-minute climb out of neutral.
Yep.
I think a lot of teams should try and go on the breakaway, frankly. But
agree.
Who do you like? Aaron Brew should try going on the break.
He's gonna try and win from the peloton, mate. You know it.
And Serrano will chop him. Yeah. If I'm Aaron Brew, I'm getting in that break with Formolo because or Pelayo Sanchez. Movistar have to go on the break tomorrow. They have a really good break team. Mühlberger, Sanchez, Pelayo, that's the guy who dropped Remco in stage 20 of the Vuelta last year. Formolo, Badenecha, Aaron Brew. That's really, really good. EF should try and go on the break with Archie Ryan and Sean Quinn. Jayco with Depreto and Engelhardt. He's a good sort of hilly classics rider.
Yep.
Gregoire, frankly, if he's okay after the crash. Arrieta for UAE. Lorenzo Rota, Bergado. I think Gorlos.
Asperen Brothers.
Asperen Brothers, they will be there for sure. Aaron Gates.
Family meeting.
The Kiwi on Burgos. And Astana, they'll probably be buoyed by the Battistella's result today. Zambanini for Bahrain. Tesfacion for Little Trek.
Mate.
There's a lot of teams that really should try and go on the break, in my opinion.
What happened to Jason Osborne yesterday? Second loss.
TT. Maybe he's trying to get a break. Maybe he's sick. Maybe he crashed.
So weird, because like at UAE Tour, he was trying for GC, right? 13 Van Jebel Jais. Like, I don't know. Feels like something's off. Maybe he's just not good at the moment. That's also a possibility.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. The breakaway has a chance. But mate, we said that about today's stage and we saw Bora Vault team spacing. So after today, after all these teams that are in the top 10, see that La Pera won, who, let's be honest about it, we know La Pera, but not every World Tour team will have had their eyes on La Pera before. They're going to be like, oh, maybe we have a chance as well tomorrow.
I agree. But really, with that opening salvo of climbs, I think it's much more difficult to control.
I agree.
But you're right. Probably it'll be a Pro Conti break, and then we'll have a little sprint again with Ineos going for it again. So who are you picking? I'm doubling down. Don't back down. Double down. Ethan Hayter wins.
Or Luis Aular.
That's who we picked yesterday. So we're going again. We go again.
We're just cursing them.
Did anything change in your mind in respect of GC today? For me, it did not. I didn't see anything out of the GC boys that changed my mind about anything.
Me neither. Just the same feelings I had yesterday. The fact that, number one, for the last stage, Roglic winning yesterday doesn't shout to me that he will be unbeatable on the final stage. Because on paper, that was his biggest weakness in Paris-Nice, even though the weather had a consequence there. He still was not that great on the hardest stages. So I don't have the confidence yet to say Roglic will suddenly be at the same level as Vingegaard. In this parkour, Vingegaard should on paper be able to beat everybody on stage 6.
Okay. That's all from us from Pays Vasco stage 2. Tomorrow could be a reduced bunch sprint. We're doing our Roubaix preview. We're doing that recording that Thursday morning. We saw the goats on the parkour on the Trade Arenberg, actually from the Twitter account, cleaning up that grass. They did not do that in advance of, I think, GP. Oh, did GP Dinan do Trade Arenberg? Can't remember. But we won't be doing a pod of stage 3 tomorrow. We've got some travel on, so we'll see you with that Roubaix preview on Thursday, and then the preview of stage 4 on Thursday for Basque Country, which is a more of a GC day. There's an 8.5% 3K climb within 10Ks of the finish. That's where we should see the first attacks of the big boys in a road stage against each other. But it's not as decisive as the previous years stages.
If Ethan Hayter wins, does he shush?
Nah, he won't shush.
Okay. Hey, last time he did.
Why would he shush?
We didn't even know why he did it last time, so.
He shouldn't shush. certainly not to us. I'm picking him every stage, so I don't want to be shushed.
Shushing all the Aulard fans like me.
He'll drop that scrub Vingegaard on stage 4 too on that 9% climb. You better believe it. Alrighty, we'll see you Thursday then. Until then, ciao.